Good morning. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate your help. Yeah, I didn't think Forrest really had it all so bad. He's the one who gets the pretty girl sitting by him. Not too bad. Way to go. Well, welcome to Adventureland Sunday. We do this every year here at Stony Creek around this time of year. And our theme today is God made you special. Our kids are special because God made them. And of course, because of that, they deserve the very best that we can give them as adults. Adventureland is our kids' ministry, if you haven't figured that out already. It's a ministry dedicated to giving our kids the most Christ-centered, the most creative, the most fun kind of church experience that we can provide. And today's message is entitled, God Remade You Special. We're going to look at your life in four different chapters. So let's look at the first chapter. Chapter 1, God Made You Special. You know, when God creates something, it's good. God doesn't make junk. Can you say that together with me? God doesn't make junk. The original creation of the universe was not a you-go. It was a rolls, because God makes everything good. He's never made anything that was not good. In Genesis chapter 1, that gives us the creation story, emphasizes this. You're probably familiar with the first verse of Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on to talk about how God created the universe in a period of 6 days. And for each one of those days, each major portion of creation, it emphasizes at the end how God looked at the creation and saw that it was good. God saw the light and said, it's good. God saw the land and the seas and the rivers. And when he saw it, he said, it's good. It's good. He saw the creatures that crawled along the ground, and the great sea creatures and the fish that swam in the seas. And he said, that's good. That's really good. And then he saw the animals and the vegetation and everything else that he created on that particular day. And he said, that's good. And he saw the stars that he had made and the planets and the moon. And he said, that's good. He says this 6 times in the creation account. It is good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. To make that point very clear that God doesn't make junk. What he makes is good. And then he comes to the crowning part of his creation. And at this point, I'm going to get some help from my best buddy in the world, my son, Johnny Ream. Come on up here, Johnny. He and I are going to do this message together today. And as I talk about the scriptures, Johnny is going to provide for us some visual illustrations. You all set with your microphone back here, buddy? You got that? Is that working good? All right. We all set? Say something, Johnny.
Hello.
All right. You're with us. Okay. Well, we're talking about the creation story here and how God made everything good. And he comes to verse 26. It says, God said, let us make man in our likeness and let them rule.
Excuse me, Dad.
Okay. Johnny's got an illustration here for us. Let them rule. All right, this is the crown of the creation here. Let them rule over the fish in the waters and the birds of the air, let them rule over the livestock and over the whole earth. God saw everything that he had made, and it was good. No, it wasn't just good. It was very good. This is the seventh time that God says this. And the seven in Scripture is God's perfect number. And in this case, he says it was very good. This is the crown of God's creation. Human beings, man, made in God's own very likeness. All right, don't let it go to your head there, buddy. It's just Burger King, after all, you know. Well, this is the first part of your story, the first chapter in your story, that God made you good. He made you very good. The best thing that God ever created was you. Well, let's look at the second part of your story. And this is the sad part. You ruined yourself with sin. You all know the story of Adam and Eve, how God put them in the Garden of Eden and said that they could eat of any tree that they wanted to except the one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And unfortunately, they violated that command. Let's pick it up in Genesis chapter 3. It says, "So she," speaking of Eve, "took some of the fruit and ate it. She also gave to her husband, Adam, who was with her, and he ate it."
Excuse me, Dad.
All right, another illustration here from Johnny.
Don't worry about it.
And there goes the crown, surrendering the crown of creation that God had given him over to the devil, who had given him the advice to eat of that tree. It says, "Then both of them knew things they had never known before. They realized that they were naked." And it says, "So they sewed fig leaves together and made clothes for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking in the garden. It was the coolest time of the day. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?'
'I heard you in the garden. I was afraid. I was naked, so I hid.'"
Look at where he's fallen. He was wearing a crown. He was up here. He was the pride and joy of God's creation. And now he's whining and hiding in the trees with a fig leaf apron. And he's afraid. He's afraid of God. The relationship with God has been broken, severed. Sin has entered the human race, polluting it like a disease in our genes. Man became sinful, and all of us came under God's condemnation. Darth Vader, look at this. All right. Oh, man. Well, Darth Vader, what do you say? Would you like to help me out with a scripture verse? What was that? Okay. Well, I guess not. Maybe we better do this scripture verse here together. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Let's read this one together. "Sin entered the world because one man sinned, and death came because of sin. Everyone sinned, so death came to all people." When Adam sinned, he was acting on behalf of us all. We were all contained in him, just like an oak tree is all contained in that acorn. And when he sinned, we sinned. We all were polluted. We all became like him. This is your story. All of us separated from God. All of us under the condemnation of sin. This is the bad news, the dark part of our story. But then comes the bright part. Chapter 3 in the story. But God sent his super special son to save you.
Excuse me, Dad.
Put your arms up. All right, there he goes. Superman. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, here's a saying you can trust. It should be accepted completely. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save sinners. To save sinners. There he is. All right. No. This is the great part about the story, and it really is a serious thing. Christ died in our place on the cross, and when he did that, he was taking our sin upon himself, being punished in our place, taking, kids, our spanking for us. That's what he was doing on the cross, so that we could be saved. And then the Bible says that he rose from the dead. This is the story. Look what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But here is how God has showed his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you. He loved you, gave his life for you, and then he rose from the dead. This is your story. And here's where you come into it yourself personally. Chapter 4. God remakes you special when you put your trust in Jesus Christ.
Excuse me, Dad.
All right. Let's get another illustration here.
Anyone who believes in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Corinthians 5:17.
All right. A new creation. I like this crown better than the last one, don't you? Looks a lot better. You know what this is saying? In the new creation, you become even better than Adam was in the first place, because you're not just innocent, you're now righteous. God declares you righteous in Christ because you've been remade. Just like that verse says, anyone who believes in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I'd like to illustrate this by telling you the story of this building that you're sitting in and the story of Johnny. Originally, this place was built as a theater. You see that picture up there? That's from April 22nd, 1948 newspaper of the front of this building. It was designed as a 1,000-seat deluxe theater. But then, as the years went on, it began to get run down. And eventually it was sold and it became a restaurant. And then after several years, it became a bingo hall called the JP Clubhouse. By the time we bought it, in the year 2000, it was a dump. I'll show you some of the pictures. That's what the front of the building looked like. You can see the side. The bricks were all dirty and broken and on the side of the building and looked very, very bad. Here's another picture of the back, the parking lot. You think our parking lot's in bad shape now. You should have seen it back then. Here's a picture inside of what it looked like. This place smelled like a chimney in here. Carpet was all dirty and disgusting. I think we have one more picture. Here's when we started renovating. When God enabled us, Stony Creek Church, this family, to buy this building back in the year 2000, he wanted to do for this building what he does for a person who comes to know Christ as Lord and Savior. He starts by remaking us on the inside and on the out. And you see that gentleman up there with the big saw sawing the bricks? That's Chuck Binkowski, guy sitting right here. He's the guy that led this whole reconstruction. Let's see another picture here. There's somebody helping fix the front part of our building. And there's some guys working in here actually looking at this front area. And see that big dirt pile? That was right there. And there's looking at the back area as it was being renovated. And then finally, a couple good-looking guys right over here working away. All right. Well, that was the reconstruction of this building. And only with a budget of about, to start with, $250,000, this place was remade. And I think that God wants to use this building as a picture of what he wants to do in us and in this community. And you know, the neat thing was, this building was finished, the reconstruction, on February 25th, 2002. And I remember on that day, the building inspector came. And he looked over the whole place and went through it. And we were a little nervous. Is he going to give us our permission to come in here and have residency in this building? And he did. And I was really happy. I went home that day, and I was all excited. And when I got home, I found out that something even greater had happened. A reconstruction, a recreation, a rebirth had taken place in our own household. And that was when Johnny had something to tell me. Johnny, what was it that happened to you that day?
Well, that day I asked my mom if I was saved, and she told me I wasn't. So she told me that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he came to save our sins, and he rose from the dead for us.
That's right. And that was the day you put your trust in him, right, as your personal Lord and Savior. He looks back to that day now. February 25th, 2002, as the day when he became a new creation in Christ. And I remember there was a special verse that you had. What was that verse?
Jesus replied, What I'm about to tell you is true. No one can see God's kingdom without being born again. John 3:3.
See that? Jesus says that nobody can see his kingdom, experience his kingdom, can go to heaven unless that person is born again, experiences that new creation. Because remember, the old creation is fallen. It's ruined as a result of sin. We need that new birth in order to have our relationship with God restored. And I would encourage you that if you're here today and you don't know for sure that you've experienced the new birth, I would encourage you to put your trust in Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you have questions about that and would like to solidify that and make sure that that's a reality in your life, to come down here after the service, where somebody can talk with you and pray with you and help you. Right now, I'd like to shift gears and talk about how we as a church can live like a new creation in regard to our Adventureland ministry. How we can all have a part in this ministry to kids. And I'm going to ask Johnny to help me out with this part. So there's some points of application, some things that we can do. Let's take them one by one. Johnny?
Encourage the Adventureland staff regularly.
Encourage the Adventureland staff regularly. That's right. I want to recognize, as I already have, we already have a number of times, Chuck Binkowski, who's our Adventureland director, and also his loving and very supporting wife, Lynn, who's sitting down here in the front row. I don't know if you two guys could stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Lynn, stand up. They head up the team, but they're certainly not responsible for all of the work. That's done by so many of the volunteers that you see working here each week. Like Francine, for example, who is leading the kids' music, or Corey, that you saw helping out with the little skit. And it's important that we let these Adventureland workers know each week that we appreciate them. They work hard during the week to prepare the lessons, the crafts, the different activities. They do this all year, not just once a year at this Sunday, but all year long. And sometimes it gets tiring, it gets hard. So I want to encourage you to encourage them, to take them aside and tell them how much you appreciate them. Send them an email or a card or to express your appreciation in various tangible ways. This is very important. The next little application point.
Pray for the Adventureland staff regularly.
Pray for them. Do you know that Satan, the greatest terrorist who ever lived, greater than Osama bin Laden, worse than Adolf Hitler, he hates our kids. Hates them with a passion. He's out to destroy them. He also hates the ministry here toward our kids. And so, folks, this is a spiritual battle. This is not merely the material things and the different personalities involved. This is a spiritual battle against spiritual forces. And this is where prayer comes in. I want to encourage you all to make our children's ministry, our children's workers, and of course our children themselves, part of your regular prayer list. Pray for them. They need this. The next point.
Bring your kids to attend Adventureland faithfully.
That's right. You know, an hour, hour and a half every week compared to all the other input that our kids get is not very much. How much less is it if they come only every other week or every third week? Your kids need to be in church on a regular basis, a weekly basis, so that they can benefit from the lessons that are being prepared for them. And there can be continuity. They can get to know their teachers and see Christ shining through them. Regular, faithful attendance is very important. Johnny, what's the next point?
Reinforce the lessons your kids learn in Adventureland.
Reinforce them. Now, if you go over what your kids learned in their lesson here, a lot of times they'll bring home little paper, little crafts. If you go over those things with them and ask them about what they learned, it makes that lesson twice as powerful because it reinforces it with them. And it's also very important that your kids see in you the lessons that they're learning. And so parents, it's important for you to be learning in here on Sunday morning, learning in your small group, and living that life in front of your kids so that they see good examples. They see Christianity 7 days a week, not just on Sunday morning. The next application, Johnny.
Consider joining the Adventureland staff.
Consider joining the staff. You know, our ministry is growing. And as it grows, our need for dedicated workers grows. Has God called and gifted you to work with our kids here in Adventureland? If He has, we could sure use you to step up to the plate and to get involved. And if you think that might be the place for you, talk to Chuck, the guy down here in the yellow shirt. He'd be happy to help you to get plugged in. And then finally,
catch the vision for Adventureland of tomorrow.
The Adventureland of tomorrow. Our goal is to make Adventureland a little better each year. Continuous improvement, not just bigger, but better. Eventually, I envision, and I know Chuck is with me on this, an adventure land that's active with our kids, not just one day a week, but several days a week, providing a fun and creative learning environment in a safe setting for our kids. They could go on trips together. They could do projects together. We could have outreach together with our kids during the week. One thing we need to do in the short term is to renovate our hallway out there. We need to knock down a couple walls and clear out that area back there, tear out that carpeting, replace the floor with a flooring with something better that doesn't get so many stains on it and has to be cleaned because it gets smelly and dirty. We need to replace all that and put a new counter in there to clear out the congestion and make it better for our kids, better check-in systems that's more secure, and better for our hospitality system after church. We're going to need your help. We're going to need your financial support for that kind of thing. Eventually, I'd like to renovate our upstairs apartment. We've had a little trouble renting that out. Maybe it's because God wants to tell us to do something with that that really benefits our ministry here with our children's program. Imagine having an activity center where our kids could be involved with different kinds of games having more space to do what we're doing. But for that, we're going to need your help. Some of you are gifted in working with renovating things, like we renovated this building. We need your help for that. We're going to need your financial support. Let me ask you today, as we're ready to close up our service here in a few moments, where are you today in your spiritual journey? Have you been born again? Has there come a point in your life when you've repented of your sin, trusted in Christ to save you, and became a new creation in Christ? If not, I want to urge you today to make today your rebirth day, the day in which you are born again. You do that by repenting of your sin and trusting in Christ. And when that happens, when you do that, He comes into your life and makes you a new person. You are recreated in Christ, and everything begins to change in your life. If you've never come to that point where that's happened in your life, I want to invite you today to come down here and let us know so we can explain to you what it means to be saved, and you can trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Well, we're going to have our time of offering now, so we're going to ask the ushers to get ready for that. You can have a seat.
The bell thing, it's kind of loose, kind of.
It's all right. You can go and just sit down. And we're going to have a little prayer, and then we're going to have our offering. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you so much for our kids and the opportunity we have to serve them. I pray, Lord, for Chuck and Lynn and all the Adventureland teachers, workers, and helpers, that, Lord, you'd strengthen them to continue to provide the very best we can offer to teach these very special little ones about Jesus and his love and their need for him in their lives. And as we serve them, Lord, I pray that we would become better servants of yours and that you would bless and grow this Adventureland ministry to become not just bigger, but better for you, to expand what we're doing here and to make it a great outreach to this community. We pray your blessing on this offering. May we give it to you with grateful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.